Hold on tight. We're hitting the home stretch. This is TFC Pitchside with Dan Riccio and Thomas Michalakos.
Here is Justin Morrow trying to play a ball in. He ends up playing it back for Michael Bradley. BMO Field urges him to shoot. He plays a short ball through to Josie Altidore, then gets it onto the right flank for Betashore. Beautiful ball in. Header, and it's into the back of the goal. It is the substitute, the Frenchman, Benoit Cherut. I'm at a loss for words a little bit at what just happened and how crazy, how many twists and turns that this one game, forget about last week, which was similar in terms of twists and turns, but this had an incredible amount of roller coaster ride feel to it.
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, I was down at field level watching it while you guys were doing a brilliant job up in the booth, and it was absolutely nuts. It was absolutely crazy. The fans were getting into it, and to score five goals in the second leg, unbelievable.
Second leg in a row where TFC has scored five goals. Jim, what was it that just changed the whole thing? I mean, the Sebastian Domingo injury happens, and then TFC scored twice. But I guess one thing, and maybe we should have known this throughout the year, this team has so much fight in them, and they showed it all year long, not just this week, but last week in the first leg of this, and then here tonight again.
Well, they've got a lot of fight in them, but then you also look at the depth that the squad has. When Ricketts ends up coming on, he's got bags of energy, he loves to get at defenders. Then you brought on Jonathan Osorio as well, another good footballer, technically very good, doesn't give the ball away. So, and then obviously your man that comes on, and we talked about it and thought, you know what, he's not a Giovinco. And all of a sudden, 30 seconds later, he goes up and scores a goal.
And that's the crazy thing is you have to give your hand to Greg Vanney. How he doesn't win MLS Coach of the Year after this, every substitution.
Well, he's not even nominated.
He should have been. Every substitution counts. He makes it. He's a man, a coach for players. He's a great coach, yeah. And he proved it. Who would have thought Cherut would score a goal?
Exactly. Right place, right time. But the thing is, too, he's an experienced player. And obviously, when Benishore gets the ball, he cuts it back onto his left foot, puts it in a danger area. And he thought, you know, I'm going to have a little go at this. And you got to take risks in games. And he actually took a risk there. He gets on the end of it and puts the ball in the back of the net.
What do you do if you're Montreal now after giving up five goals in a second leg?
Now you look at it. You're disappointed. Clearly disappointed of what's happened. And especially goals that you conceded off a set plays. Yeah. So you didn't concede in the early stages through open play. You've conceded through set plays, which is a no-no, really. That's the last thing you want to do. But now when they look at it, at the overall end of the season, I think they've had a fantastic year.
They did.
And to get as far as they did, this was an exciting game. You know, you win 3-2 at home, then you come here, you lose 5-2. But overall, it was a great performance from Montreal. You can't take anything away from them.
Well, there was no doubt that TFC can score goals. That wasn't the question. It was how many they were going to concede. And when they conceded the second goal, to score five, I can't stress it enough how crazy it was, how important it was. And if you're Montreal, you got to be hanging your heads right now.
Of course you're hanging your head. I mean, you had the lead at two different, well, the aggregate lead, at least at two different points of this match.
Yeah.
You take the 1-0 lead early on in the game. And then, of course, Nacho Piatti scores in the second half again. I mean, really, Jim and I talked about this throughout the broadcast. What it came down to, at least in the first 90 minutes, was set pieces. TFC, all three goals came from corner kicks.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, the thing is, too, Montreal's going to be disappointed with what's going on tonight. But they've got to be proud of themselves as well at the same time. When I look at Major League Soccer, this is a proper league now. The number of teams that are in it. I mean, before when it first started off, 8-10 teams. If you won a championship, I mean, you've got great chances, good percentages to win that cup. Now, you have to work twice as hard to get to this stage. And for Toronto FC, what a fantastic performance. You win an MLS Cup now, you are the best team.
Now, you've played in these conditions before. How difficult is it for a player to play in these conditions in such a momentous occasion? Yeah. With the pitch being slippery and everything, how is it as a player?
Do you know what? We mentioned it, we touched upon it when we were in conversation doing the game here that, you know, especially the later part of the games, fatigue sets in, cramp starts coming in, but the inner spirit comes in and comes out of you as well, because now I've got to look at my teammates in the eyes and say, you know what, I'm going to give everything I've got left. Whatever ounce of energy I'm going to do, I'm going to give it for you guys, because we want to be successful here. We want to get to the MLS Cup final. And you fight through it. You've seen that tonight with Toronto FC. how resilient they were and how hard they worked for each other.
We do have a viewer question coming in. Gino is asking, he wants your MLS Cup final prediction. Already, Jim.
On the spot.
December 10th, Seattle and Toronto here at BMO Field.
Here at BMO Field, I'm going to say 3-1 TFC.
MLS Cup winners in their 10th year of existence.
Was he going to say anything different? Was he going to pick Seattle? I don't think so.
No, because I think Seattle's a very good team, but I don't think they have enough in their locker what TFC does right now. TFC's on a momentum right now that's carrying them.
And
you look at the excitement in the city and the fans, and they're at home. And these guys at home are a dynamite team.
And we also have to wait to see the injury news, obviously, on Sebastian Giovinco.
Yes.
Leaves this game in the 97th minute. Turns out maybe to be a blessing, Benoit Cheru comes in, scores a minute later.
Easy now, blessing. Not so much of a blessing that Giovinco.
Not a blessing, but like Giovinco comes off and Cheru scores
a minute later.
But Giovinco's not scoring a header. I'm surprised he had one headed chance tonight. That was very impressive. But that's not really Sebastian's game, and TFC definitely need him back for MLS Cup Final next Saturday. Josie Altidore was named Man of the Match. You know, it's incredible how much debate there was coming into this season about Josie Altidore and just what he's now brought to this team over this season. He went from guy that maybe some TFC fans wouldn't mind parting with to an absolute legend of the club. And he's Man of the Match here tonight, goal and an assist, and he's been scoring in every single playoff game. There's no doubt that Josie Altidore, now a legend of Toronto FC.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's always hard when you come back. I mean, obviously, he started his career here at New York. And I remember playing against him when he was a young 17-year-old kid. And you could see that he had something. He had something, big power.
A little swagger, too.
You know, he had a little bit of bite, but he was respectful when he played as well, which was good. You know, he was honest and he respected the game. He's gone overseas. He's played a number of years over there. And then when you come back again, it takes some time to settle into a league. Always does, right? You're coming back. You're in Canada now. You're back in Major League Soccer. You got to find your feet. Well, he's found his feet now.
Yeah.
And you could see when he plays, defensively, he was great. Offensively, he's done his job. He was strong, powerful, created opportunities. And he's held his own. And he's really, he deserves to be Man of the Match tonight.
Absolutely. And the thing is, too, is it coming from the EPL and everything, coming back to MLS, and, you know, the ups and downs with his injuries and everything, it's hard on a player to get back to 100%. And yeah, of course, there was people doubting. I was one of the doubters in the beginning, and you were one of the guys that was preaching his name right from the start. I have to hand it to you, Riccio. But he made a believer out of me. He wants to be here. He gave his blood for this team, just like Michael Bradley, who had a spectacular game in my books.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's great. Altidore deserves Man of the Match.
Yeah, and Altidore, just massive. And, you know, he had 13 goals in his first season. But I just... Something about him this year is different. He's more influential in all areas of the pitch.
You see, is he more focused?
I don't know if it's focus. I just think he's done wonders this season, both defensively and offensively.
Just trying to get
his
you to go on
a play,
limb.
His link-up play. I mean, he's worked so many different areas of the field. But we do have another listener question for you, Jim. And Rob is asking if you think Josie will score in the final. Everything's looking towards the final. We don't even get to enjoy this win.
No, well, that's what it's all about, right? And that's why we play the game. It's to get to that final, and we're there. So it's kind of the history. This game's done. It's history. Now we got to move on to the next game.
Let's look right? forward.
You merge forward. So that's a good question. I think he will. I think Josie will get a goal because he deserves it. His performance of late, you know, setting up goals, scoring goals, his work rate. I always say good things come to those who work their socks off. And tonight he's got Man of the Match, and he'll get his opportunities against Seattle, and I think he deserves it, and I think he'll get a goal.
Yeah, and Josie Altidore, if he scores in the final, will have scored in every single MLS Cup playoff game for TFC this season. So MLS Cup final next week. One thing before we let you go here, Jim. Tonight was... I don't even know how to describe it, really, because... You know,
you can't believe it, can you?
And you've been around Canadian soccer for so many years. You've played the game. You've lived the game. Nights like tonight haven't come around for Canadian soccer fans really ever. Can you put it into words?
No, it hasn't. And, you know, I'm proud of this moment. I'm proud to be a part of this club. When I came back from Europe, I knew it wasn't going to be easy. It was all building. And we all have to play a certain role to get this club to where it is today. And, you know, I'm delighted that I did my bit with the club. Whether how tiny it is, but I was there and I helped get where it is. And I'm so happy to see where it is today, not only for myself, the players, the fans, the city. You know, I think football's here to stay. You know, we've been crying out for so long for a professional league, for soccer-specific stadiums.
It took a while,
It took a while. And when you look at MLS, it's here to stay.
Yeah.
You know, professional soccer is here now, so people have to embrace it. And all those doubters, you have to open up your arms now and say, you know what, this game is here now, it's arrived.
And I have to say, I was at that first press conference at CN Tower when Mo Johnson was the coach.
Yeah.
You, I think, Marco Retta were up there too. And what a different ball game it is from then to now,
yeah.
Just with everything, with media, with the focus, with the team and everything. And it's grown at an unbelievable rate. And now this is the fruits of the labor right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And come a long way from the seats flying onto the pitch on that first
exactly.
First goal from Danny Dicchio. Jim, well, it's been an absolute pleasure calling this with you tonight. And hopefully we'll see you here on Saturday, December 10th.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks
a lot.
You
will be here.
I'll be here.
Of course he's going to be here. It is now Dan Riccio and Thomas Michalakos, TFC Pitchside on Facebook Live. We say goodbye to Jim Brennan.
Good job.
Here on this show, and we will continue this show for the remainder
watch
of the evening.
Yeah, I got to watch. All
you don't have
I don't have that much room.
There you go. I gave you a bit more room there.
That's
how
okay.
about that?
It's okay.
You feel better?
You look constricted? You look out for me. I love it.
All right. I don't know. Like,
come on,
I'm never at a loss for words. I'm never at a loss for words.
No.
And, you know, it's not just about TFC winning. It's, you know, everything about this game tonight, it just makes me as a soccer fan and a guy who grew up loving this game and maybe being a minority among most groups loving this game, it makes me so happy to see what we saw here tonight and really in Montreal as well. And over these two legs, what could you have asked for? This is now
absolutely great.
A classic Toronto sporting moment.
It's going to be, where were you when TFC lifted the Eastern Conference Cup? And I'm grateful that I was here. I mean, it was raining like crazy out there, and it was great. But, yeah, it's one of those things where you look back and you go, where were you?
Yeah.
We were here, did a good job, heard a little bit about a little bit on my phone, you know, and it was absolutely great.
Of course, I did get to call an Armando Cooper goal, right?
You know what? Emil told me about that. He's like, he came up to me. He's like, Cooper scored, right? Cooper scored, because Riccio just went off, and I'm like, yeah, Cooper scored. Don't worry, He's looking out for you.
I had a couple other snafus during the match, so I wasn't completely off the hook.
Now, don't you look at this now and go, okay, the hardcore fans will always be with TFC. Now moving to the final and having it in Toronto, don't you think the average fan is now going to put some
focus? I think
the
average fan has already been here.
Already. But I think now everyone wants a winner. Everyone wants to, you know, you might not be into soccer right off the bat. You might not like TFC right off the bat, but they're in the final, and I think it's going to grow the fan base a little bit more. Everyone loves a winner.
Everyone loves a winner, and you know there will always be those people who are like, whatever, soccer, I don't care.
That's fine.
It's Major League Soccer, it's MLS, whatever.
I'm the same way with the CFL, so I can't say anything bad
about
anyone.
And you know what? The Grey Cup was fantastic here the other night. They put on a spectacle, and for CFL fans, that's going to be a historic Grey Cup final, one that they'll talk about for many years. And now a couple of nights here later.
But nothing like this. Nothing like this.
This for Toronto.
Come on, Riccio.
For Toronto, Montreal, you know, there hasn't been a lot of great moments for TFC. There hasn't been a lot of great Toronto, Montreal moments in a long time. Tonight is one, and you get that rivalry. You get the twists and turns of this game. You get, you know, the absolute down in the dumps when Nacho Piatti scores that goal, like really out of nothing, and it's just silly, and the ball's bouncing in weird directions, and you just think everything's going against you in that moment. And TFC battles back. And I think maybe when we look back at 2016 TFC win or lose in the MLS Cup final, we'll look back at TFC and think, you know what, that was a team that fought, even when they were down in the dumps, even when it looked like all was done for them, they still fought and gave it their all in any moment. And eventually it led them to MLS Cup Final.
Yeah, and you saw it in the players' eyes, like just being down at the pitch and seeing them and how hard they were working and just giving every 50-50 challenges, limbs just smacking and just going nuts on the pitch, the fans getting into it. It was just unbelievable. They deserve this success. They deserve to celebrate. I think Toronto deserves to celebrate.
So let's go through a little bit of what happened in the match. Dan Riccio, Thomas Michalakos, this is TFC Pitchside on Facebook Live and sportsnet.ca/590. And on Sportsnet 590 The Fan as well.
Don't forget all the tags, Dan.
I know. So the game starts, and TFC, I thought, had a pretty good start to the game, and Dominic Aduro scores out of nowhere.
I was surprised, though, how Montreal didn't close shop. I expected them to play a lot more defensively. They're more open than I expected, and when they did score that first goal,
I don't know if that was by design.
You think?
Yeah, I think wanted them to be a little bit more closed up.
I think they went after it. I think they didn't want to sit back and go, this is how we're going to park the bus, and they went after it.
They score in transition again.
Yeah,
that's how they score all their goals.
But if you saw it from the field of play, how open it was, they weren't playing as congested as I thought they were. And, yeah, scoring, it really was a sucker punch. You could hear it took the wind out of everyone in the stadium except the Montreal fans up in the corner who I have to give them credit.
Give TFC fans credit. About a minute after the goal,
yeah,
they started TFC. TFC,
they
know,
started.
They started.
They started. But
so, good on
the Montreal fans, I have to give them credit. They were boisterous. They were loud. They were here. And you could hear them.
How did you hear them? They were clearly up there. They're still up there. Look at them.
Trust me. You could hear them clearly.
By the way, yeah, on TFC pitch side, just looking up, I guess you can't really see it, but up in the northeast end of the stadium, the Montreal fans are still awaiting to leave BMO Field. And it was much the same case last week in Montreal, where TFC fans were not allowed to leave until 30 minutes after the match. So Aduro scores that opening goal, and then TFC starts getting into the game a little bit, and they start getting a couple of chances. And then all of a sudden, corner kicks. And TFC wasn't necessarily a
set-piece club.
Right.
No, not at all. Everything was usually through open play.
You know what? It was early in the game. One of the first corner kicks that TFC had, they didn't score on it. But it was a short corner, and then they played the along-the-grass ball to Josie Altidore, making a run into the center of the box.
Yeah, it was right here, right in the front.
And he skies it over the net. And I said to Jim, that's straight off the training field. And then what happens? They score three corner kicks through the rest of the game.
If anything, I thought it would be in reverse, because TFC are usually the ones that concede on set pieces. I didn't really have that much faith that TFC wasn't going to concede. Mm-hmm. We knew they could score, though.
Right.
And that was the thing. It was, can you break them down? Can you get at them? And they did. And it was very physical. And there was a lot of words being said on the field that I'm not going to repeat, because probably we'll get in trouble for that. And I don't want to, you know, upset the bosses. But, yeah, and they did a fantastic job just continuously pushing. You're kind of weirding me out by looking at your...
I'm just looking for Facebook Live comments.
Are you sure?
Yes.
It looks like you're looking at your hair.
We are on Facebook Live. I'm looking for commenters. One saying, who won the game? Well, TFC won the game. 5-2 and
they didn't know who won the game
on aggregate. Apparently, they just... Troll Sportsnet Facebook Lives, yeah, and not so much.
Are you getting into the Irish English accent things?
Nobody,
are you sure?
Well,
I don't want you to
lose
your cool.
We did have Jim Brennan, so you know. Apparently.
We didn't want. I don't want you to lose your cool like you did in Montreal. Then
I never lose my cool. The set pieces thing was interesting, and Josie Altidore scoring his second headed goal of the season, which is amazing because you think a big, powerful guy like that would have more headed goals. That was just his second. The first came last week in Montreal. So this tie was really all about TFC making a comeback. You know, they are the second team in MLS history to come back from a 3-0 aggregate deficit. I think 2003 San Jose Earthquakes or something were the last team to do it.
And De Rosario was probably on that
team. Yeah. So
sounds about right.
You know, they come all the way back, and it's hard to pinpoint one guy. You know, Josie, we talked about Josie a little bit. But Michael was great. And Cooper had his moment in midfield. And Will Johnson had some moments in midfield. Nick Haglund was...
What a header.
I mean, if you look back at the goals Montreal scored in this series, there's going to be a couple of them that you're like, Nick. But he's also made some very important plays. A couple of times in transition in Montreal, he stopped plays from going into the... stopped breakaways for Oduro or Piatti. And then here tonight, he gets the goal, but also the second half, how many aerial duels did he clean up?
Well, that's what I was going to say. Anytime the ball is skied to Haglund, nine times out of ten, he's getting that ball. He's getting there. And do you understand how crucial that is for your defender to win every aerial challenge that comes to him? Absolutely crazy. And that's why he scored the goal, too.
Exactly why he scored the goal. And, you know, you look back at this for Montreal, and you wonder just what went wrong for Montreal tonight. And, you know, they did well to get the first goal. They did well to get the second goal. Couldn't hang on defensively like we've seen them do so many times in the past in the CONCACAF Champions League or against the New York Red Bull in the Eastern Conference semis. But they just couldn't hang on to their lead. And I look at it this way, and I complained a lot about Didier Drogba last week, but in this one tie, the two games against TFC, as a substitute, with Didier Drogba on the field...
Don't get me started on him, please.
TFC were 3-0 in the advantage over Montreal when Didier Drogba was on the field in this two-legged series.
And you're sitting here and you're asking the question, what went wrong for Montreal? Here, I'll tell you what went wrong for Montreal. They subbed on Didier Drogba. Absolute horrible record when he's on the pitch. I understand why they're putting him on the pitch, because it's his last game in MLS. Am I wrong on that one, or am I right? It's his last game. Drogba?
Yeah. So they put him on the last game of his career.
Maybe the last game of his career. So I understand why, but... you got to go beyond that. You're not good when he's on the pitch. We've seen it time and time again. They don't play the same way. It almost looks like he takes the focus. Instead of it being the team, they're looking for Drogba. They're looking for him to cause a reaction. It just doesn't work.
No, it doesn't. And they lose basically their identity of being a transition
exactly.
team.
Exactly.
And
with Drogba on the field, they're not a transition team.
It's harder to be a transition team, I guess, when you need to be the ones going out there and getting a goal. But... you know, I think if you were to ask Mauro Biello, man to man, no cameras around, no microphones, who would you rather have on the pitch for 90 minutes, Mancosu or Drogba?
Yeah, I don't even think it's going to be Drogba.
Yeah.
He might say it because there's a camera in his face that it might be Didier Drogba. But, I mean, deep down, you got to go with the hot hand. You got to go with what has been working for you all season, and that's not Didier Drogba. I have a lot of hate for Drogba.
I can tell. And
can you?
And
is it coming across?
You know, Patrice Bernier is a guy that I wish we talked about more even last week, and I wish they didn't have a ceremony for Drogba after the game last week. That really cheesed me off. Like See,
I can't stand Drogba, and you absolutely adore Patrice Bernier.
Well, no, it's not that I even talked about it with Jim Brennan on the broadcast, you know, like... Bernier, and there's a lot of Canadian soccer players that don't get the love that they probably deserve through their careers, but Bernier is one of them. And last year against TFC, he was a big part of their 3-0 playoff win over TFC.
Yes.
And this year, he starts off the goal scoring for Montreal in the first leg, gets that beautiful no-look pass through to Dominic Aduro. I mean, and after the game, who are we praising? The guy who... I don't even know what to say about Didier Drogba. I mean, he bailed on the Montreal Impact, and there was 60,000 people praising him.
Yeah, adoring him.
Yeah.
And the crazy part about it is, too, here, how many training sessions did he miss before the two training sessions, I believe.
Yeah.
So why are you putting him on the field? That's
they have
what
nobody else. Like, I mean, who else? What other forward does Montreal have to put on? Mauro Biello, of his substitutes. Kronberg, not putting him on. Harry Shipp came on late. Callum Malice, Danny Toya, Lefebvre, and Venegas.
I have to.
So you have no other.
I have to say one thing for Harry Shipp. I saw him. he was one of the Montreal players that watched the trophy presentation on the field.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he didn't go in. He kind of sat and watched it. I was looking to see if any Montreal Impact players were actually going to watch it. And you know what? A lot of people say that builds character. You see, you feel the failure, and maybe you can push forward and change the situation. But, yeah, I kind of feel bad for Montreal because this is not the way you should lose a second leg, 5-2.
And for TFC, they score five goals in the second leg against New York. They score five goals again here today.
They score goals for fun, Dan.
In the second legs of things, yeah. First leg, there's only one leg in the MLS Cup final. We're going to take it there eventually. The Seattle Sounders will come to Toronto for next Saturday's MLS Cup final, BMO Field, Saturday, December the 10th. And
snow? What do you think?
I don't know. I would love more weather like this. Like, I know it was a little bit wet, but...
But it was actually pleasant to be outside.
We kept the window open here all night. I wasn't cold. Didn't have to put my jacket on. It's beautiful.
It was pleasant. It was pleasant on the pitch.
And Seattle...
What's your biggest worry with Seattle?
We'll get to that. We'll get to that. But Sebastian Giovinco. Can this team win MLS Cup without Sebastian Giovinco?
Well, they've
he was injured 97th minute, for those who missed it. 97th minute came out. I have no idea what the injury was. We're trying to find out from the post-match news conferences. But Sebastian Giovinco left in the 97th minute.
Yes, they can win the MLS Cup without Sebastian Giovinco. It's not ideal, but I think Altidore and Bradley, they have to obviously be playing. Giovinco, it pains me to say that they can do it because you look at him and go, how do you, like, he's the superstar of the team. But I think the spine is Bradley. I think Altidore has taken more of the
But that's also because Montreal, like, purposely, you know, they would gang tackle Sebastian Giovinco whenever he had the ball. You would see blue and black swarm towards Giovinco in this time.
The one thing that I can say is that without Sebastian Giovinco taking some of the focus, that it might be more difficult for players like Altidore to get the space. So that's the one worry.
And Ricketts has been great too. But I do love having Ricketts as a super sub.
Jim said it when he was here. They have depth. They have players that can come on and make an impact. And yes, ideally you want Sebastian in the lineup. But if he's injured, he's injured. You got to make do with what you have. And I think what they have is good enough to win MLS Cup.
Ozzie Alonso suffered an injury in the second leg for Seattle against Colorado, which they eventually did win. But Ozzie is one of their very best players and very influential players in the midfield for Seattle. So on TFC pitch side, we'll keep an eye on those injuries as we get closer to MLS Cup final, of course. What else did you take away from this game? I mean,
the fans are absolutely amazing here.
You know, I have these things on, and they're so, like, noise-canceling that it's hard to hear just how loud the fans were.
Yeah, it was deafening on the pitch.
Yeah?
Yeah, and it was crazy. High-fiving all around. I actually saw a skirmish between two photographers mm-hmm. on the pitch, and it was kind of scary.
Okay.
Yet the fans loved every minute of that. Even two photographers fighting, they were all up in it. They were screaming at one, screaming at the other. The fans were absolutely amazing tonight.
Was it a Montreal photographer and a
Toronto
photographer?
No, I don't know. It was just right in front of us. They almost got into blows.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was crazy. Security
came
out.
Must have been a Montreal and a Toronto dynamic.
I don't know. One of them was a little bit freaky. There was something wrong with them. I don't know.
So Montreal lose this one, and you know they're going to have some changes for that team.
Plenty of changes
in the future. And Mauro Biello, I think he's done a fantastic job. And any coach that has, you know, the cojones to stand up to Didier Drogba is a good coach in my books. So good on him for doing that, and good on Montreal ownership for backing their coach rather than the star player.
But did he really put him in his place when he's using him, even though he's not training and he's doing this? Did he really?
Using Drogba as a sub in the second leg against New York worked.
Yes.
So,
you have
especially
a point.
When you need a goal.
I know, it's hard to say don't put in Didier Drogba when you have him, but he's just not the same player anymore, and he drastically changes the shape and the focus of your team. That's why I think it doesn't work out well.
But as for Montreal, you know, you have a pretty I don't want to be rude here, but
no, be rude. It's interesting.
You have an elderly midfield of Marco Donadel, Patrice Bernier.
You're an ageist, aren't
Hernan
you?
Hernan Bernadello.
You're an ageist, aren't
I think
you?
Bernadello is,
are they too
is
old
the
to
youngest
play soccer?
Of the midfield. And you know that you have guys coming, right? Blairem Demaile is a guy that keeps getting talked about for Montreal. I think, you know, Montreal is a team that, that maybe they're never going to dazzle anyone, and they have to be smart with their designated player choices, who they go out and find to replace Didier Drogba. Don't know yet. But you look at Marco Di Vaio and now Didier Drogba, Nacho Piatti. They've been very smart about their DP players. And this is, you know, a very well-run franchise.
Yeah, I was going to say this exact same thing. This ship is steady. They know what they're doing from the USL into the MLS. It's great ownership, great team, great club. You'd expect them to not go backwards after this, only forward.
And you just hope that the extra fundage that they got from playing in the deplorable Olympic Stadium at least gets them a somewhat half-decent designated player.
You think?
Like, I hope Joey Saputo's not just going, pocketing that, you know? Like an extra 40,000 season ticket sales or
I don't
seat sales?
You know what? I don't think Joey Saputo needs that of cash.
Yeah, probably
he
not.
Has enough. He has enough.
Dan Riccio and Thomas Michalakos, as we are on TFC Pitchside Facebook Live and sportsnet.ca/590, we now bring in Marco D'Onofrio, who was watching the or listening in on the post-game press conferences. So, Marco, let's start. We were just talking about Mauro Biello. So tell us what happened in his, end-of-season news conference.
I think we saw exactly what we'd expect from a coach that just came this close to reaching the finals. Obvious disappointment. He was very classy and congratulated Toronto FC and commented on the crowds today. And you know what? It was disappointment. It was heartbreak, and it was a tough loss for them. And, I mean, that's what we saw him talk about. I mean, there was nothing that you wouldn't expect from a coach that was just eliminated so close to the MLS Cup.
Yeah. And as for Greg Vanney, did you get a Sebastian Giovinco injury update?
No, he didn't mention anything yet, and I think he probably wants to keep it like that. Granted, I did leave halfway through the press conference. I will say that, in time's sake. Michael Bradley was also present at the press conference, and they talked about how insane today actually was and how much BMO Field and the crowd played into today and the advantage that they had. And December 10th is going to be even crazier. And it was interesting because he mentioned that, and Bradley was talking about how it almost seems like the sins of the past have been forgotten, because today nobody was thinking about the first 9 years of this franchise. And that, I think, was really important. And I think today, actually, I saw tears in the South End after that game. From shout out to Kings of the North, great supporters group that we actually interviewed on pitch side earlier in the season, and literally tears down their eyes, and you can see how much it meant to them.
You needed those 9 years of failure, let's say, for this to feel this sweet, though.
And that's
it wouldn't taste this sweet.
You know what?
Like, if you didn't have that 9 years of failure.
The MLS Cup final sets up well for that kind of narrative. Two teams who have failed to meet expectations, but in very different ways. Like, Seattle has had success. It's just not the MLS Cup final success
they
wanted.
Just not enough. They couldn't get over that final hurdle.
Yeah. You know, they've always been expected, since they entered the league in 2009, they've always been expected to be one of the big, big clubs
big
of this
fan,
league.
Big fan base.
Big fan base.
Just like TFC.
All that. But, you know, they would come into MLS Cup and playoffs and just fall short.
Lay an egg.
And lose in the conference finals, which they did twice. Now they finally, in a year where they were last place on July 11th, they end up in MLS Cup final. And as for TFC, you know, last place on a lot of seasons, but finally make their way through to MLS Cup final. And it's, you know, who's going to get it come that final day?
I think it's crazy, and you alluded to that, this was the season that Seattle got over that hump.
Yeah.
You know, and it speaks of how important it is to be hot at the right time. And I think I do want to talk about Greg Vanney, his presser. He did mention that it was the entire team. It wasn't just the 11 we saw on the pitch or the 14 that came on. It was literally the entire team. And it was how important that having a deep squad this season, and I think that's been the biggest difference this season, is that they have a deep enough squad that when you had guys like Bradley and Altidore away on international duty or Giovinco away, they were still able to get the job done. And it was the subs today, just like last week. We talked about Tosin Ricketts coming last week and Sheerut this week. And Vanny joked about it after the press conference, saying that he told them to go in with the diving header and score the winner. And that's what happened.
That's crazy. I mean, to think that, you know, Benoit Sheerut, as much as we all think he's been a quality addition for this team and a nice veteran hand to kind of guide some of these younger players along.
Beyond the stuff that he does on the pitch, too, yeah. Like in the locker room.
And he came up big this year when Bradley was off at the...
You need guys like that.
At the Copa America and also when Bradley was hurt. But, you know, they to see Sheerut come on and score that goal after a minute, I mean, like, absolute madness, right?
Bonkers.
If you were to make place a bet on Sheerut scoring in extra time, you'd be walking away with thousands and thousands of dollars right now. What are the odds that that type of player that he is gets in there and gets that goal?
Well, usually you don't take off Sebastian Giovinco in hopes of sparking your offense, but that's exactly what we saw happen today. And again, credit Vanny for those substitutions because they worked. I mean, we were actually together when Giovinco was coming on. We're like, what's going on?
We didn't see it. We didn't exactly see what happened because we were moving around. And we're just like, did he get injured? We see him getting treatment. What happened? We don't know exactly what it is. Now, how tight-lipped do you think they're going to be with this? I mean, you saw him in the celebration. It can't be that bad because he's moving. He's walking around.
Was it
precautionary?
I don't like to speculate, but he was hobbling pretty good. You just kind of wonder if it's that same adductor injury that he's had.
And he's just
not
running.
Not just this year, but last year as
well. And he's just running on adrenaline and just being, yeah, excited right now. Wait till he cools down and we'll see.
And he originally hurt the adductor or groin and quad injuries that he had the last time Montreal was at BMO Field. So it's tough to lose Giovinco now. I mean, that's heartbreaking for TFC.
Heartbreaking for Giovinco.
Heartbreaking for Giovinco.
He's the face, really, of the franchise. And for him not to play in that final game.
Here at BMO Field.
Here at BMO.
We do got to say, though, at least they have a week and a half now. I mean, the final's not till December
10th. 10 days.
So there is...
And you know what the crazy part is? And we sit here and we complain, oh, December 10th, how far away? Now, for TFC, it's a total bonus that you have that extra 10 days. What is it, 10 or 11 days? 11 days. 10 days.
10 days.
And there's no travel. You're playing right here at home.
Home.
Seattle's got to come across the country. Granted, again, they have 10 days as well.
Sounders fans are pissed. Because they wanted Montreal to win.
Yeah. But again, for me, what is going to be the standout moment today was being in the South End at the end of the game and just seeing literally tears of joy from these supporters. And that's what sports is. And I think when you come to BMO Field for a soccer game, you didn't always you always had the atmosphere. But I think now people are finally starting to appreciate it. The non-soccer fans are starting to finally realize that this is real.
Yeah.
And this is sport.
Record 35,603 people here at BMO tonight. And, I harp on pitch side about fans leaving the stadium early. And
no one left early.
We saw the one guy with his kid leaving early right after.
Well, he might have been going to the bathroom. We don't know that exactly.
Yeah. No, he was.
Maybe
leaving.
He was going for,
he
I don't know.
Leaving.
You think?
Remember, he was going.
You're going to call him out?
I'm going to call him out. But of the 33,000 you said were here, I saw two people leave.
It's so, okay. He was with a small child.
It's bedtime. It's bedtime.
So as we know, this was a huge match for Canadian soccer, and this whole week has been very much so all about Canadian soccer. 61,004 in Montreal. Then you had the 35,000 plus here tonight. But also beyond that. Prior to the match tonight, MLS Soccer comes out with an announcement regarding Canadian players in Major League Soccer. So that means now, after this release came out and this announcement was made with Commissioner Don Garber, President of the CSA, Victor Montagliani, homegrown MLS players that are Canadian are now allowed to play anywhere in MLS. And not have international
spot,
status. That's huge for Canadian soccer and huge for really all three of the Canadian teams who are stuck with all this Canadian talent and may not have spots for them. But, hey, maybe the Chicago Fire needs a new striker that they might want to try out.
Well, we sit there and we say it's great to see expansion and it's great to see, you know, the league grow, right? But for Canadian soccer players, had this rule not been changed, it's not good. Unless it's a Canadian team coming in and a Canadian expansion team, it wasn't good for Canadian soccer. Now with this rule, let the expansion grow. Let it grow because Canadian players can play anywhere and it's not going to count.
And it helps, but how much of this do you think, or a result of that ruling, is a result of the Canadian Premier League? Because that looks like it's going to be ratified shortly, and that's going to be a real league in a couple of years. So do you think that this is a result in this Garber, the willingness to push this and finally allow Canadians to not be designated as foreigners is a result of that?
Yeah, I wonder if it's not just that, but also like this whole thing. You know, you have a lot of eyeballs on Canadian soccer right now, and more so than you'd ever have.
Two games, over almost 100,000 tickets were sold.
Yeah,
so
and I feel like this was Don Garber's John Torrey moment. Yeah, John Torrey, like you never cared about TFC until today. So, I mean, you're just doing it for the.
You're calling out the mayor.
Yeah, you're doing it for the. You're doing it for the. The solid publicity.
I don't know if that's smart, but okay, continue.
Well, we know who Dan didn't vote
now,
for.
Now that he's putting tolls on the Gardener, okay, and then the DVP, I want to say a lot of things about John Torrey right now, but nah, I'm not going to get into it.
It's amazing where he goes out on a limb for. Usually he doesn't go that far out, but for the mayor, he's calling him out right away.
I'm just saying, like, this was all about publicity for Don Garber and positive publicity because anybody who's been following MLS
did you see
knows
him walk
that.
Here?
What?
Did you see him walk in
here?
He
was pissed when people were asking him questions in the news conference.
He looked like coming down here in the media room, right? Walking down. It was almost like the sea was parting and like the Messiah was walking in.
Just like
it was kind of lame. It was kind of lame and I'm not scared to say that cuz he's not the mayor of the city that I live in like you did. But yeah,
I live in Toronto. He's got to pay extra.
No, you're right, though. But, I mean, it was a big deal. This is the commissioner coming to town, and how often do we see that?
Yeah.
You know what? You're right.
I think
you could be a little less pompous, though, when you're walking in, though.
I think part of the whole Canadian soccer thing and allowing domestic players is publicity. I also think it's also about, like, you know, you have all these Canadian players, and you're only going to allow the ones that come from your youth academies, never mind all the other Canadian players. We're only going to accept ones that go to MLS club academies, which is, again, still, it's like, okay, we finally got this, but there's still a caveat, and Canadians are still second-class citizens to an extent. And when people were asking him in the news conference, why is that, he got upset. Like, oh, you guys should be happy that we're allowing this. Like, I mean, I don't know. I was very put off by it.
It's a step in the right direction, you're right, but it's not complete yet.
Yeah.
And I think it's a first step, and I think that's a good sign, right? And again, I'm just amazed. I know we're talking about Garber and stuff. My mind is still on what happened tonight.
Yeah.
Because this has to be the proudest day of this franchise, and they wasted no time popping bottles down there because
did you see it?
I saw some media members coming out, not media members, some PR guys coming in, and they were all showered up with their shirts and their fresh 2016 Eastern Conference hats celebrating. So you know what? They deserve it.
7-5 TFC beating Montreal on aggregate.
What a crazy aggregate for a soccer
two
match.
Times, two aggregates in a row that TFC have scored 7 goals. Like, absolutely bonkers. Are they going to score 7 against Seattle next Saturday? I don't know. But this was an incredible night, and TFC getting past the Montreal Impact. We have very little time remaining, so quick thoughts. Bruce Arena was here, so he was watching the new U.S. national team coach. He was watching, I guess, Michael Bradley and Josie Altidore and whoever
where?
Else.
Do you know where he was watching?
No, I don't know.
Although I didn't think
hush,
I ran
hush.
Into him.
No,
down there.
I was
very hush.
I think I saw him in the tunnel downstairs.
Quick thoughts on next Saturday, early predictions for MLS Cup Final, Saturday, December 10th here at BMO Field. Thomas.
You want to hear a score?
Sure.
4-2.
4?
Toronto.
Okay.
You know why I say that?
Why?
Because we've had football scores for what? The last four games, so why not? We'll go 4-2.
Okay. Marco?
I'm going 2-2 and penalty kicks.
Oh.
Ooh. That's dangerous. Penalty kicks would not be
too
all
much
that fond of those.
Too much drama for me.
No, too much drama. I will say I think Seattle takes it. I think it's going to be a 2-1 Seattle Sounders win over TFC here at BMO Field in MLS Cup.
You're final. Calling out the mayor. You're picking Seattle to win.
I'm not allowed to pick Seattle?
No, you can. It's just
I wore
like,
all blue tonight. Who do you think I was cheering
for? Do you want to go home nice and comfortably?
Was that Jordan Morris brace?
Well, Jordan Morris isn't going to have another flu game. So, Nico Lodero, watch out for him.
And you know what the crazy part about that is? His hometown guy for Seattle, 14 years old when the team came into the league.
And he is a big-time fan. So was Jonathan Osorio. Congrats to TFC. Sorry, Montreal. This has been TFC Pitchside.